following podcast will contain spoilers and explicit language. Hello and welcome to...
Yeah, it's that bad.
My name is Joel.
I'm Martin.
And I'm Kevin.
This is the show that looks at supposedly bad movies and asks the question, is it really that bad? And what that boils down to is that we look at movies that are rotten, Rotten Tomatoes, and reevaluate that score. Does it really deserve to be that low? Tonight's movie is 2011's The Green Lantern, starring Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively, Peter Sarsgaard, Mark Strong, Angela Bassett, and Tim Robin. Green Lantern is a 2011 superhero film. This movie currently holds a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. How about a plot synopsis?
The Guardians of the Universe have divided the universe into 3,600 space sectors, each one protected by one powerful Green Lantern, selected among fearless beings and supplied by a ring fed by the willpower from the planet Oa. When the evil force Parallax, that is fed by fear, destroys several Green Lanterns, Abin Sur flees in his spacecraft but crashes on Earth. Mortally wounded, his green ring seeks out a successor for him and finds the reckless but efficient test pilot Hal Jordan. Hal Jordan learns about the Green Lantern and is bestowed with the power of the ring. Meanwhile, scientist Hector Hammond is summoned to conduct an autopsy of Abin Sur and is possessed by Parallax. Hal Jordan is insecure about his fears and uses the powers for the first time in a party to save the life of people from a Ferris aircraft helicopter damaged by Hector, and he discloses his identity to his former colleague, Carol Ferris, who is the beautiful daughter of Carl Ferris and his love.
What?
When Parallax threatens Earth, the Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, is the last hope to defend his planet from destruction. Thanks, Claudia.
Okay, the Green Lantern. What is your history with this?
This is the first time I've seen this movie. What a treat.
It's a real gift. It's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle, really is.
I didn't see this in theaters. I wanted to, but I never got around to it. I did see this, though, when it came out on DVD. I wasn't really impressed the first time, but I don't know. Maybe a second viewing will change my mind.
That's true. You are a kind man. Caring.
You are jovial in spirit.
Yeah, he has infinite compassion. As for me, I remember when I saw the trailer for this movie, and immediately I said, that looks like crap. I don't want to see it. If you recall, this came out in the summer of the superhero movie. It was Thor, X-Men First Class, Captain America, and this were all jam-packed in the same summer. I eventually did see this movie on TV at some point, and I wasn't too pleased with what I saw. Hey, maybe I'll be like Kevin, and I'll give it a 5 out of 5 this time around. We'll see. Okay, let's do what we always do at the top of the show. We'll discuss the actors one by one. First up, making his triumphant return to Yeah, It's That Bad, the Amityville Horror Zone, Ryan Reynolds.
This is the third time that we've seen this guy in the Yeah, It's That Bad.
Canon,
right? This is the third time? He's, you know, given us diminishing returns in each movie he comes in. So I don't know what's going on here. But, you know, I'm happy to see him. Man, his acting was terrible. I could tell it's Ryan Reynolds. He's got that happy-go-lucky Ryan Reynolds kind of...
What about those boyish good looks? Those dashing devil-may-care charms?
Look, I'm going to say this. I might as well have just went here right away. His abs look great, but they put CG skin over it. You don't have to do that. That's unnecessary. I want to see this guy's abs regular.
Not those cartoon abs. You want real abs.
Yeah, yeah. I want his real abs. His acting? Not that great. Is it the source material? I'm sure that's some of it. But come on, dude. You gotta do some work.
Yeah, we didn't get normal, charismatic Ryan Reynolds here. I think he was chained a little bit. I think he could have been really good in this if they let him off the hook a little bit. Let him just kind of be him and charismatic and exciting. He was very dull in this movie, which doesn't play to his strengths at all.
No. You're right. The Hal Jordan character is supposed to be like a hot shot, I guess. I kind of got the sense in this movie that the Hal Jordan character is this hotshot guy who's always got the quips and stuff.
Yeah.
But Ryan Reynolds didn't really do that in this. No. He tried, but it didn't work.
I don't know.
I think it was the material, though, more than anything.
He's quoted as saying that he never really followed the Green Lantern as a kid growing up, but he fell in love with the character upon meeting Martin Campbell. Like, the same stereotypical BS that someone...
He fell in love with the character when he saw all that
money.
Green cash.
Yes.
Greenbacks.
Yeah. I don't know. He was definitely chained by the material, and his acting was definitely subpar Reynolds.
Okay, next up, Blake Lively.
I thought that her acting was more nuanced than Ryan Reynolds was, but that's not saying much.
Subtle and nuanced.
Yeah, I mean, she was okay. She wasn't terrible. She was a little bit better than Ryan Reynolds.
This is my first time ever seeing Blake Lively. I've heard her name before.
She's a buxom babe. A little audacious.
Buxom's not the word I would use for her, but I know she's on Gossip Girl or something, right? That's what she's
known
for.
Wasn't until the series finale last week.
How to save a life.
No, I don't watch that show. But I saw like all the news, or all the like Google News had articles all over the place about the series finale of Gossip Girl.
You got your finger on the pulse of Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
Was she Gossip Girl?
I don't.
Spoiler alert!
I don't know who Gossip Girl
who
was.
Who is the Gossip Girl?
Isn't it Kristen Bell? I think she's the voice.
I don't know. You're the one who knows, right?
I think she's the voice, but I don't know Gossip
Girl. CeeLo Green is the voice.
You're right. That's 100% accurate. Well, not next season.
What's going on here? Mr. TV Guide over here.
Usher's gonna be the new judge for Blaze TV. The few times I've seen Blake Lively outside of the Green Lantern, I appreciate her acting. I think she can act. She's not just pretty face, which she is. I think she's gorgeous.
She's beautiful.
I thought she was terrible in this. I didn't believe her as a test pilot.
Did you believe her as a test pilot or Jessica Biel as a test pilot? Who was the better test pilot?
That's a question for the ages. I don't know if I can answer.
Let the philosophers debate this.
I'm gonna pose this question. Did you notice any romantic tension between Ryan Reynolds and
no,
Blake
you know,
Lively?
That,
it just
really
didn't exist. But isn't that what their character is supposed to be?
It's really interesting, right? Because they have zero chemistry.
None at all.
Yet they're married in real life.
So weird. So weird. It's so weird.
That doesn't make any sense, right?
You know what? Maybe it's one of those love to hate to love relationships.
Unless, is this where they met maybe? And like, so this was almost like awkward for them because maybe they were just starting their relationship.
Yeah.
It's not like they were married at the time they filmed it.
Oh, okay.
You know what it was? I heard that in production, Ryan Reynolds just had blue body paint on the whole time. So he was completely nude while she's doing his lines.
That could be an issue too.
And it was like a real, you know, it was really embarrassing because he kept getting erections while they're doing their lines talking to her.
Man, ladies love Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, you would think that would transmit to Blake Lively, which I guess it did. By the end of this movie, she was locked in on Ryan Reynolds.
Love those blue balls, bro.
let me get her out on that blue bone, bro.
Okay, next up, Peter Sarsgaard. We got the Sarsgaard special in this movie, my friends. Absolutely.
This guy's the best actor in this movie.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. It's not even close. He's having fun with this character.
He killed it.
Like, this movie to him, he's like, it's a joke. This crap out of here. He completely acts himself out of this movie. I'm like, it's like he's not even, it's like he's in a separate movie, a much better movie that's more interesting.
He is the only redeeming quality in this movie at all. I'd watch an entire movie with just this character doing stuff.
Yeah, he's got an interesting story. He has like these.
It's way more interesting than Hal Jordan is. Stupid Ryan Reynolds.
This character has like weird personality defects, character defects, interesting stuff.
Character wounds come out physically when he has his transformation.
I mean,
his character arc makes sense as opposed to everyone else in this movie.
Ryan Reynolds, I'm just gonna say this right now. Hal Jordan's character makes no sense. It just doesn't make any sense at all. His motivations don't make sense. Why he fights doesn't make any sense. Why does he care?
Well, next up, Mark Strong. He was Sinestro. What do you think?
I thought he did good. You know, for a guy that's completely CG, I don't know. There was a good amount of emoting that I could pick up on in his voice acting, that's for sure.
Well, his head wasn't CG, was it?
I wondered about that. Was his head CG?
I'm not sure.
I thought he was the same thing. From the neck down, he was in blue suit. And the rest I thought was
blue
makeup.
Body paint.
I thought he was really good. It seemed like he was able to adjust to being in this CG suit better than Ryan Reynolds was. I mean, he looked more natural in it and everything.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
He looked more, he was a more human character.
As an alien.
As an alien than Ryan Reynolds was as the Green Lantern.
That's the Bella Swan conundrum.
How embarrassing. That is so embarrassing for Ryan Reynolds. It is. That's embarrassing.
I love Ryan Reynolds, too. I hate bashing.
Listen, we have to be as objective as possible on this show, right? Because we have such a strict adherence to...
Yeah, I know. You're a devout objectivist, so we have to follow those teachings.
Ayn Rand is my personal savior and hero.
Yeah, all right. And finally, Tim Robbins.
What happened to Tim Robbins? Can someone explain it to me?
We went from Shawshank to this.
This is an ancillary role for him. It's not really that important to the story. And he's just kind of hanging around. He's in there.
That's all he does anymore, though, right?
After Shawshank, does he really have to do anything else?
He's too busy hanging out with Susan Sarandon.
There's War of the Worlds. I mean...
War of the Worlds, he killed that, though.
He did. He torpedoed that.
He killed that movie. Awful. And not in a good way.
No. Luckily, there wasn't a movie here for him to kill.
He was dead on arrival. Stillborn.
Yeah, this movie was definitely unborn.
So. Wait, guys, we're... Oops, I didn't want to spoil my review. Okay, that's it. Let's get into the brief history of the Green Lantern. With a production budget of $200 million.
Oh my gosh.
That is insane, right?
Green Lantern was initially scheduled to begin filming on November 2009 at Fox Studios Australia. In April 2010, John Tenney revealed that he would play Hal Jordan's father, test pilot Martin H. Jordan. By June 2010, filming had begun in New Orleans' Lakeport Airport. In the same month, it was reported that Mike Dole has been cast for the role of Jack Jordan, older brother of Hal Jordan. What?
Yeah, where did that go?
In July 2010, it was reported that Ryan Reynolds was injured while shooting scenes for the film, separating his penis and... separating his shoulder, and he was in a lot of pain.
Poor guy, I hope he's all right.
I remember that happening.
Did Scarlett Johansson nurse him back to health?
I think she did.
Wounded baby bird.
She threw up in his mouth. Jeff Johns confirmed on his Twitter account that the film had ended principal photography on August 6, 2010 and entered post-production. In an interview with MTV News, that's my number one news source, director Martin Campbell, when asked about the film's effects-heavy epic scale, commented, "It's daunting, just the process. There are something like 1,300 visual shots. It's mind-blowing, quite honestly." When asked about the constructs created from the power rings, Campbell stated, "One of the nice things is, we'll all sit down and say, well, what are we going to do here? Really, it's as much as your imagination can go to make the constructs." The studio also confirmed to MTV News that the film would have a 3D release. In January 2011, it was reported that Green Lantern had gone reshoots for key scenes at Warner Brothers Studios in Los Angeles, California.
That's never good.
In March 2011, it was reported that Jeffrey Rush had joined the cast as the voice of the CGI character Tomar Rey. What? Really? That went right over my head.
I don't remember that.
In April 2011, Michael Clark Duncan entered negotiations to voice Kilowog. Also in April, it was reported that Warner Brothers raised the visual effects budget by $9 million.
Just keep throwing money at it.
Yeah, that'll make it work. And hired additional visual effects studios to bolster the ranks of the team that had been working overtime to meet the film's June 17 launch. Okay, this movie had a $200 million budget. How much did it make worldwide?
I'm gonna say 230.
Ooh, well, Martin knows, he did the notes. Kevin, you're dangerously cheesy right now. You're so close. We have two different numbers here. I'm just gonna pick the more exaggerated one. 222 million. That's a flop, right? You made your money back.
No, that's a huge flop.
But not enough. For a movie like this, tentpole movie?
Yeah, no.
They barely broke even.
No, that's, you want this to be the foundation for a trilogy, right? That's the goal here. You want the first one to fund your trilogy. This barely paid for itself.
Right, this is a flat year for that production studio, which is...
People get fired over this kind of crap.
Absolutely.
Heads will roll.
Look, if I was an investor and I'm not getting any money on my returns after several years and all of those like how many companies were involved in making this movie? They're just kind of throwing money at it and it just failed so miserably.
Okay, so this movie starts off in typical, yeah, it's that bad fashion, voice over narration. Woo! Thank God.
This is one of the most complicated, in-depth voiceovers we've ever had, I think, on this show.
Yeah, it went on and on and on and on.
I really could have used some text on the screen.
There was a lot of words that I had no idea what they meant, what they were. And I read a lot of comics.
Right off the bat, what's everybody's opinion of the Green Lantern?
He's okay.
I think, don't like him.
I mean, I don't hate him. I think his power is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't believe in Hal Jordan. My Green Lantern, John Stewart.
Co-signed.
Yeah, co-signed.
But I'll also say I find him to be very inaccessible.
How so?
He has this power ring. Like, that just seems so otherworldly. Whereas, I mean, obviously Batman's accessible, but even Superman to a certain extent, right? I mean, you can see someone having super strength and,
okay, I get
and stuff like that. But having this ring that's anything in your imagination, it just seems...
Where his power is based on the strength of his will, which is an abstract idea. How is quantified. How do you quantify will?
Plus, he has the ability to manifest whatever he wants with his thoughts, and it is weird. Especially the stuff that he makes in this movie. It's stupid.
Really weird.
Not only that, you would imagine that his mind, just being a human compared to other civilizations that are so much older, would be way limited.
It almost seems like his power is limited by his own lack of imagination, which isn't really, is that really the battle you want your superhero to be fighting? Yeah. With his own lack of imagination?
So you want to give the ring to, like, I don't know, like artist or writer or someone who can be creative?
Not a test pilot.
Or someone who has, like, gone through arduous training to have no fear and have nothing but will.
Okay, all right.
Like Batman. Like if Batman, like...
Why didn't Batman just steal his ring?
Wait, why wasn't Batman chosen by the ring, right?
Oh, that's even a better question.
Who's more qualified?
Like if Batman had a ring whose only limitation is will, lack of fear,
he'd be unstoppable. He could like move a planet.
Okay, now we know why the ring didn't choose Batman.
Yeah. No, he's just too powerful.
Yeah, the ring would just explode. Okay, so right off the bat, this movie starts off with CG creatures dancing around in a cartoon planet with cartoon characters walking around. How do you think this movie looks? And right off the break, you're like, they show you what this movie's going to look like with aliens and the worlds and stuff. What do you think of the aesthetics?
I liked Who Framed Roger Rabbit a little bit better than this cartoon movie.
Yeah. How does Elfin Lied compared to this?
That's what this is a cartoon movie. That's what this is.
Yeah,
this is a cartoon movie with like a few scenes of people.
It's like Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
It's not even good looking, right?
No, it's not.
It's ugly.
They should have.
The colors are a mess. Right?
They really are. I'm glad you brought that
These
up.
These aren't colors that exist in the real world.
I guess my small human mind can't wrap my imagination around the colors that I'm seeing. Hey, but I feel like the studio and the director and the producers felt the same way because they just kept pumping more money and they're like, oh, this is messed up. We got to fix this. Who knows what it looked like before they tried to fix it.
Yeah. Okay, so we cut to a little flashback. Or is it a flashback? I don't know. I was kind of confused by this. So the stuff that we saw in outer space with that giant fart cloud thing killing those aliens.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Who cares? It's so pointless. We don't even bother. We don't even need to discuss it. But anyway, we cut to young Ryan Reynolds Jr. Is this in the past or the present?
It's the past. But the question is, was the alien scene that we saw before this?
In the
exactly.
Same time.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. I don't know.
Days of Future Past?
Yeah. I understand what Joel's saying. He's trying to say, did the movie start out in the past and then jump to the future with a stupid fart cloud closer to Earth? Right?
Or is it just in the not too distant future from like G.I. Joe 1600 to today?
I don't know. I don't know if there is an answer.
Well, anyway, we meet young Hal Jordan. He's this little turdlet kid. Sucks. I hate him. The tradition of fine young actors continues on. Yeah, it's that.
So he misses his school bus and he decides to chase it down like a psychopath, or like if he's acting like T-2000. He's just chasing his bus.
He runs for 14 blocks.
And then he's like, you know what? I'm just going to skip school. And he runs onto a military installation.
He looked like he must have been running for 17 hours to get to where he went. He was in a suburban neighborhood.
And he's in the desert.
The salt flats.
How did that happen?
Not even Maniac McGee would be able to run that far.
Yeah, okay, so he runs to this military installation and runs past an armed guard. All right, the guy's got like a machine gun. He's on M16, and he doesn't really even see him. He's like, oh, is that just like a kid that ran by? Whatever. Okay, so it turns out that his father is a test pilot, and they're having their proposal to the United States government for their version of an experimental plane.
Why are civilians here?
Why is his kid here? How is that allowed? How is that allowed? That is insane.
Just simpler times.
Yeah, okay. 1983. There were simpler times.
Tear down that wall, Gorbachev. Okay, so he's there. He's like, Dad, can I watch your stupid test flight? He's like, shouldn't you be at school, kid? He's like, check it out. So he gets into his plane. Everybody's cheering. Uh-oh.
SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. It turns out that this plane was a little half-baked, I guess. Wasn't done yet.
They didn't have time in the oven.
Yeah. I don't know. There was a mechanical malfunction and blows up into a fireball and crashes into the control tower. And he makes an emergency.
He buzzes the tower.
He buzzes the tower.
Top Gun style.
Yeah, with the wing of his plane as it goes through it. And he pulls off a crash landing. And what I get is the most hilarious wave to his son before an inferno engulfs his body. He's like, Dad, no!
his plane crashes, it's in flames. His kid's the only one that runs over to help him.
Yep.
His, what, six-year-old kid, however old he was?
I'm convinced his kid can run at like 50 miles an hour because he's running faster than the emergency vehicle.
Yeah. So he runs over there. He nearly runs into the fire and blows up himself. We'd be better off.
Yeah, I wish that happened. Cut this movie after 10 minutes.
So this little kid is there watching his father come out of the plane. And his dad has this smile. And he's like, hey, son, we're home early. And their eyes lock, right? They have a sensual moment.
They do.
Where their eyes lock. And then kaboom, the airplane explodes. And this kid gets sent back 10 trillion feet in the air, right?
Yep. My soul laughed.
I was laughing and laughing. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. This kid having his father ripped from him. Okay, you're a little kid and you just witnessed your father erupt in flames. He took a look in a book and he saw a spontaneous combustion.
Spontaneous combustion as a vacation from.
The burden's on the planet Earth. This guy explodes. This little four-year-old kid sees his father burnt alive right before his eyes, and we immediately smash cut to Ryan Reynolds as an adult. And what's he doing as his career? The exact same thing his father's doing. Hold on. Wait a minute. Your dad just died a horrific death doing this. Are you sure this is what you want
to
do?
He doesn't care that his dad was roasted, toasted, burnt to a crisp. He doesn't care. I guess he's impervious to Vietnam flashbacks.
Yeah.
And he's going to follow in his father's footsteps, which makes no sense. What is he trying to prove? I mean, nothing happened that insinuates that his father made a mistake.
He's trying to prove that his dad was a big baby and he's a real man.
And they seem to have a good relationship.
There's nothing in this part of the plot that would make me think that he would want to go into this. If anything, he should be traumatized and run from it.
Yeah, he should be like afraid of heights, afraid of fire. Afraid of everything.
He should live.
Aren't we all afraid of fire?
I'm not.
Some more than others.
Yeah. Yeah, so he is a test pilot, and this is when we get introduced to Blake Lively.
Well, we were introduced to Ryan Reynolds, he had just finished having sex with a girl 3 seconds earlier.
Yeah, he did.
It's insinuated that he met her at one of the gin mills the night before.
Thank you. We all high-fived together. We did a triple high-five. When he banged that chick, we were like, all of us came together.
Cool, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, we gave each other bro hugs and like jumped into the air like we all scored a touchdown. Banged our chest together.
He wakes up. He's like,
I'm late.
There's water in the tap. Bye. What a dick. This guy's a real buffoon. He heads to, I can only assume that he ran to
the Lockheed Martin orbital base.
Yeah. It's an outer space.
It's their satellite world headquarters.
Yeah, there you go.
So we're introduced to Blake Lively, and she's not too happy when he shows up late. I mean, he's the best of the best. Top Gun test pilot.
Yeah, she gives him a real stern talking to.
Well, she's a by-the-numbers kind of gal. And
their whole business rides on this test, right?
They want to get the most unreliable person to fly it.
Yeah.
But he's the best hotshot they got.
Why would they want the best hotshot?
All test pilots have to be hotshot dickheads.
No, so this is another, so we're in another test where this company's trying to sell something to the government. They're trying to sell them unmanned drone airplanes that fly by computers. Why would you want the best of the best trying to take down your product you're trying to sell?
They're so I think they're so convinced that he can't beat this thing.
Yeah. That's a selling point, I guess.
The selling point is like, this guy is the best pilot ever, and even he is absolutely no match for these things.
I agree with you, Kevin, and I also wonder why Ryan Reynolds is fighting so hard to defeat these robots, because that's his job on the line. He's like putting himself out of work if he beats them.
It's a real Paul Henry story. He's
John Henry?
Yeah, John Henry. Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bearer. That's what you're really thinking of.
So yeah, they start this test, and it's pretty much, I think they took the footage straight out of Top Gun.
Stealth.
Where they mix and match stealth with Top Gun, because Ryan Reynolds, he goes outside the flight deck. Just like Maverick did. He flies straight up, basically into outer space.
Iron Man style.
Exactly.
I'm sick of this. I'm sick of it. They do
it over. You're gonna stall. Don't go up there.
Over
you'll stall.
And over and over and over. I can't take it anymore.
You don't like when the metal planes all of a sudden just turn to ice?
But my God. The skin, the fleshy bags of skin on the inside don't.
I'm sick of it already. Cut it out. It's not exciting.
So yeah, Ryan Reynolds is playing.
This is so boring.
His plane gets up there. Everything shorts out. It freezes. The drones do the same thing. So Ryan Reynolds is plummeting to his certain death just during this test flight. What was the point of risking his life for this?
He wants to follow in his father's footsteps. Die for it, no reason.
Die in a test flight.
So he's spinning out of control, but, you know, luckily he can get that jet button going and gets out of there. But he crashes a $400 million plane in the process.
Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant.
How much is an F-22? It is. It's like $200 million or something.
$200 gazillion dollars.
There you go.
Pretty expensive. It's a lot of money. Good job, Ryan.
Can we agree, though, that that fighter jet is probably worth as much as one of Ryan Reynolds' abs?
I don't even know if one. Can you put a price on Ryan Reynolds' abs?
I mean, Lloyd's of London, I think, tried to, right? They're insured.
And they failed.
They failed. Their supercomputer they have in their headquarters exploded when they start entering in the
actuarial tables.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the specifications of his abs are...
They're like, the computer taps out at 10 J-Lo's asses.
It's quantified. In J-Lo's ass. JLAs. One Ryan Reynolds ab is more than 10 JLAs.
All right, so this causes a big hubbub, a big to-do, a big stir, because...
It's a big hubbub-a-loo.
A big stink.
Yeah, real brouhaha. Ryan Reynolds beat the unbeatable planes, right? Yep. So I guess that means he's worthy to become the Green Lantern, I guess.
He beat the unsinkable ship.
Yeah, Titanic.
The Titanic.
Was floating through the air and he shot it.
I guess it showed he has no fear.
He was wearing his no fear t-shirt that he bought in 1992. Absolutely. That's how the ring knew.
Yeah, he also
it's near his Hot Topic.
Yeah, he also took out his No Fear Trapper Keeper binder and started writing in it after he beat it. It was great.
Stupid, like, stupid guy. Remember that No Fear guy?
So stupid.
Kevin remembers.
That's a great description. Remember the guy? Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. All right, so we fast forward through all this garbage.
Wait. So as Ryan Reynolds is plummeting to his certain death, right? We get a 7 or 8 minute flashback scene to his dad's death.
Oh,
which
yeah.
We just saw.
That happened three minutes
ago. Yeah. We rewatched the first like 7 minutes of this movie.
The whole movie just starts over. We see the same scenes again.
Did we really need a flashback already?
I'd forgotten.
This is like a joke.
This movie's already 7 hours long, right? Did we need this?
This is a sick joke that they just rewatched that scene over again.
The director was like, I really love these scenes. Let's use them again.
I made a lot of choices I'm not artistically proud of.
There's one thing I did right.
But it's these goddamn scenes. I'll put this in.
This movie was okay until that stupid CG green suit showed up. So let's make that as long as possible.
Okay, so yeah, let's cut through all this crap and go straight to him meeting up. I guess that's his nephew. It's his sister's son, I believe. He shows up at their house. There's some kind of celebration. And he shows up and he gives this kid, I guess, his crystal airplane that he had from his room. And it was a real touching, emotional moment. And this green fart orb came out of nowhere and like shot into him.
It did. Mysterious, it flew in the window.
Mysterious gas clouds from beyond the stars. Yeah, I mean, this whole time during all the tests and stuff, we see this purple alien guy fighting an angry fart cloud. That's the best way to describe it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It is an angry fart cloud in space.
What do you guys think Avinser looked like? What
the
did
purple
you think
guy?
Yeah.
Looked terrible.
It looked like a cartoon.
It looked like a Power Rangers villain.
Yeah.
Ivan Ooze?
Worse than Ivan Ooze.
Ivan Ooze was real. This guy is a cartoon.
Ivan Ooze is real.
I believe in Ivan Ooze.
Ivan Ooze for president. So he crash lands on Earth. He's like, oh, find the next Green Lantern, blah, blah, blah. Thing sends its fart sphere out to find the most, I don't know, useful candidate to be the next Green Lantern, which happens to be Ryan Reynolds. So he's talking to his nephew and the fart orb.
Picks him up.
So this fart orb picks him up. He's going for a little ride. He's going for a nighttime jaunt through the sky. And it takes him to the crashed ship of Avin Sur. And he's like, the ring, take it. How does he understand him? He hasn't put the ring on yet.
All aliens speak English. You don't know that?
Like, it's canon in the Green Lantern, in the DC universe, that the rings translate for you, okay?
Is that ever pointed out in this film?
It's not, but I'm a fanboy, so I'll let that slide. But he's not wearing the goddamn ring. How does he understand what this person's saying?
He has a green orb in his body.
You're right. He's been infiltrated by the
He's been touched by the green orb.
You're right. He has. So he explains to him that he is the new Lantern and blah, 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 blah. Ryan Reynolds buries him. And then Men in Black, Black Hawk down, yeah. Helicopters
there you go.
Show up. He calls his friend who works with him to come pick him up. And they have this bizarre escape scene, which makes no sense.
Why do these movies always have to have some stupid friend character that does nothing?
It adds some levity to a serious character.
He didn't add anything. This guy was a waste of time.
Waste of space?
Comic relief. You weren't relieved?
Yeah, he really relieved me real hard.
There wasn't enough fart jokes in this movie. Can we at least agree about that?
There was so much potential for fart jokes here.
I know.
Well, are you telling me the Hal Jordan of comics wouldn't be cracking fart cloud jokes left and right at the sight of Parallax?
Oh, no, absolutely he would. No, the Flash would show up and start making fart
jokes. That's a really good point. He should have appeared just for that.
The Flash should have showed up and been like, oh man, smells like rotten eggs. Hal, did you just rip one, bro? Whoa, that's pretty big. He just looks at Parallax, and then he just runs away. Yeah, so Peter Sarsgaard gets taken by, I guess, the equivalent of the Men in Black to be briefed and to examine the alien body of Abin Sur that they recovered. Because Peter Sarsgaard's father is a senator, right?
Yeah, he's a senator at this point. Yeah, Tim Robbins was, he was in charge or was running the defense comp, right?
He was.
But now he's a senator.
Yeah, okay, so they're examining this alien body. Peter Sarsgaard touches a little yellow fleck of fart power. And it shoots in through his finger, and now he's infected by fart gas, and he is starting to go through a transformation.
When Dr. Hammond, he's brought to this facility to look at the alien, he gets to meet Amanda Waller, who I was more than happy to see.
She wasn't fat enough to be Amanda Waller.
I don't care. Yeah, so Angela Bassett, she shows up, she's Amanda Wallering it all over the place, and I was pretty happy to see her. I was surprised to see that character in this movie. I wasn't expecting that.
Are you happy as a fan to get that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I was serviced as a fan.
What about you, Joel?
Have you been serviced?
I thought it was cool this character was in it. I think that was the only cool thing in this movie, that this character shows up. That's it.
It's pretty good.
Nothing else in this movie made me go, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's it. It's the only moment in this movie, right? When she shows up. Just the fact that they name checked her. That's it.
Yeah.
That doesn't take much then, right?
It clearly doesn't take much to please us.
Yeah, and they fail so spectacularly in every other regard.
Okay, so Hal Jordan is back at his apartment, and he is trying to understand how the ring is going to work.
Abin Sur, the alien who died, told him to recite the oath.
In front of the lantern.
Yeah.
Right.
As if he would just know it. I thought this was BS. The lantern telepathically told him the oath.
Why does he care? Why does he care about this stuff?
I think the ring knows it. So
The ring didn't have any power.
He tapped it, which gave it enough power that it started functioning.
Rap, tap, tap.
And let him know what the words were.
Why does he care? Why does he care about this at all? Does he know anything about it? Why does he care?
It's weird. You wouldn't want to.
You'd do it if you were in his position. You'd fiddle around with that thing.
Yeah, but then
why? Alien gave it to you.
But then why would he recite the oath? It's not an oath if he has no free will when he's saying it. He didn't choose to say it. It looked like it mind controlled him into saying
an oath.
That's
a good point.
It's like,
really,
what?
Good point.
How is it an oath? It's not. He's like enslaved by this thing. And yeah, it's like, you have to do it. It's like he's more like a slave to these aliens now to do this.
That's a good point. Because his eyes changed and everything. He was totally possessed.
The unborn.
Yeah, so is he even a hero or is he
just possessed better than the unborn.
So wait, which raises the question, is he even a freaking hero? He's not making any decisions of his free will to be the Green Lantern. He's being controlled by whatever.
That's a good point. After this, Ryan Reynolds, he heads to his local gin mill.
Yes! It's sticking! It's growing!
He meets up with Blake Lively.
They decide to copy Top Gun.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're gonna have a hotshot fighter pilot, why wouldn't you just copy every scene from Top Gun?
Which bar scene do you prefer? The bar scene from The Perfect Storm? Or bar scene from Top Gun?
Yeah, Top Gun, hands down.
I like the one from Killers.
Yeah, you like bar scene for Killers?
Yeah, he made that guy squeal like a pig.
This wasn't like a direct carbon copy of Top Gun, but he was so close.
Close enough. I mean, he starts singing the song to her. I mean, a hotshot fighter pilot singing a song to a girl in the bar. I mean, that's just...
Well, Ryan Reynolds leaves the bar and he gets attacked by a bunch of people from his company that lost their jobs because Ryan Reynolds is being a hotshot and screwed it all up.
Deservedly so. He should get his ass beat.
Yeah. Can you imagine if
you're
like...
You're trying to feed your family?
If you're like in Detroit, right? And the entire like Ford Motor Company had to shut down... Because one jackass crashed a car during the test ride. They'd kill him, right? Yeah. They'd murder him in the street. They'd take him to the malice in the palace.
Yeah, someone would throw a drink at him from a few aisles up.
Murder him.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so he gets in a fight with all these random tough guys, and they beat him up, you know, deservedly so.
And then he kills them?
Yeah, he uses his ring power to manifest a giant fist, which hits those guys so hard, every bone in their body exploded into a fine powder. Clearly,
the one guy goes flying through a solid brick wall.
He's dead.
Look, at least their family will get their life insurance money now, right? They'll have some money.
That's a good
because
point.
Before they were just unemployed with no money. So at least with their father's dying, they'll get some money.
I thought this ring was a tool for good. I'm amazed that it allowed him to do this.
Well, they were beating him up, so they were bad guys.
He killed them!
It's still, he was using it to defend himself against people that were attacked.
This is a weak
fine
argument.
Line.
This is a weak argument because I'm surprised the ring would allow him to use so much power on defenseless people.
Well, the ring hadn't been used for a while, so it wanted to show off. It had some pent-up energy.
Yeah, okay.
Needed to let off some steam.
The ring wanted to show load in 5 seconds.
The ring wanted to show off.
Wait, we don't know. That may have been a group of rapists, serial rapists, those
yeah,
guys.
Of course.
We don't know.
The ring is a dick, right? The ring has its own character, and the character of the ring is that it's a dick.
All right. Okay.
It just doesn't care.
All right, so the ring, it lights up. It makes a giant fart bubble around Ryan Reynolds, and they go flying off into the infinite reaches of space. Hooray. It took us about 50 minutes to get to this point, but okay.
I'm not happy we're here.
Why is that?
This is an unpopular opinion, but I don't like going to space.
Do you mean like you don't like funding NASA or what are you talking about?
I don't like space in my entertainment. It just never seems to work out for me.
What about Event Horizon?
Pandorum.
Kevin, what are you talking about?
You're making my case for me.
Lost in space? Come on, Lost in Space.
Making the case for me.
Remember Gary Oldman? He was a Spider-Man. He was a real Spider-Man.
They got lost in space. Do you remember that? You love Lost and you love space. Put the two together, it's perfect.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of like Star Trek and Star Wars and all that stuff. It just doesn't appeal to me. It's too inaccessible.
What about Babylon 5?
I don't even know what that is.
All right, you're lost.
We go to space here.
Hey,
and
Kevin.
It's ridiculous the whole time.
Kevin, I don't agree with what you have to say, but I'll fight to the death for your right to say it.
Thank you.
I came up with that quote. You can quote me.
Give me liberty or give me death.
Don't tread on me, Kevin.
Live free.
You keep treading on me. I'm sick of it.
All right, guys, live free or die. So,
die hard.
When they, I don't mind people going to space.
Die hard.
I don't mind people going to space. I do mind them going to Oa.
Oa. Yeah, Oa is the Green Lantern homeworld. And
it is so dumb.
Looking. The people that run Oa, they look like Uatu if he was a shriveled up nutsack man instead.
Yeah.
Is that far-fetched?
No.
All right, describe what Oa looks like.
Oa looks like a
giant rock.
It looks like an uninhabitable planet.
Yeah, a cave.
It looks like Abe's Oddworld.
It's pretty.
No?
It looks like Earthworm Jim should be flying out of one of those caves.
It does, right? This planet looks like it was created in the mid-1990s by a video game developer. Okay? And there's a bunch of like
before
rock.
Before the Unreal Engine.
Yeah, before this is BU, before Unreal. There's a lot of stupid-looking CG rocks that don't look like rocks. They look like they're made out of plastic. This place just looks fake. It looks fake.
Yeah,
it looks
super
like the
fake.
Meteor from Armageddon that they landed on.
But that was like a set. That was like an actual place.
Yeah, this is just a fake look. This looks like if they took the planet from the new Star Wars, like the way that it's all CG, and they just, instead of having buildings, they made it fake CG rocks.
Yeah, everything is fake. From this moment forward in this movie, for like the next hour and a half or something... Everything in the movie is fake. It's all CG. Crap.
It's horrendous.
It's amazing that Pixar can make entire movies that are CG that look phenomenal, yet they can't even come close to that here. Like, they're trying to create an entire environment in a computer, and it looks atrocious.
What was better, Oa or Hell in Spawn? I want you to seriously think about it. Think about it, Kevin.
They're on par.
Not too hard.
They're on par excellence.
Really? You remember those 2D Spawns dancing?
Yeah, they were great.
That was so... Okay, I'll have to give it to Owen. I hate to do it, but... You had to pick the only worst set I've ever seen in my life.
Put you in your place.
It's a review. It's better than Spawn.
So Ryan Reynolds is taken to the examination room.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Joel.
And he's scanned. He is completely nude. Crude. He's a nude, crude dude. He's looking pretty hot. I'm finally glad that, what is this, an hour in before we get to see his abs? That's too long.
It was worth the wait.
I'm surprised they didn't show it sooner.
It's reminded me of The Fifth Element.
Yeah, yeah. But in like a much worse movie.
Yeah, he gets, at one point, he's like hovering in the air. At one point he gets, what, lightning bolts strike his wrists and ankles? What was happening there?
Where did his penis go?
He's wearing shorts.
He's wearing underwear. The aliens were pretty modest, so they gave him underwear. Even though they are an alien species completely removed from the human race. What the hell do they care what a penis is or what it looks like?
Wouldn't they be like inspecting it? They'd be like checking it out, right?
Totally. Fine tooth comb and magnifying glass. See that package, bro?
They wouldn't care more about his penis than they would about his face. It doesn't, it's just a piece of his body to them. And they have no understanding of modesty. They don't have any understanding of modesty. Why do they care? Who cares?
I guess they just have a lot of willpower, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. We come to find that later, that willpower is what powers the rings of the Green Lanterns.
And
as we all know, the source of will in man is penis, right? You gotta keep it covered.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was Willennium.
Oh! You know, technically, it's still the Willennium, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the source of will in my life is listening to Willennium.
Yeah, the end of the Mayan calendar coincides with the end of Willennium.
Wait, that means we're not in the Willennium anymore.
Yeah, it's a sad time for the human race.
So now we have this whole training sequence where he needs to be trained on how to use the ring. Isn't it just whatever he imagines comes up? What training would you really need if that's the case? That's just experience, right? You need to figure out what works.
And wouldn't training be something more similar to what Batman went through, where he's like meditating and doing things that are going to exert growing his will, building his will up? Not like a stupid fighting montage of Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. They have these stupid battles that are, I don't know, were we supposed to be blown away by the special effects here? Because they look terrible.
Why did they pick a huge character to do his training? Who cares how muscular the individual is? Their powers have literally nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I kept thinking that too. What difference does it make if you're a super strong muscle guy when your power emanates from this, your mind, essentially?
It doesn't. I mean, was that a little bit of fan service too? I mean, fans like Kilowog.
Kilowog! Right? And that squirrel thing. Who cares?
Cosine.
Why did they?
You want that Flash movie?
I'm so bad.
Yeah, same here.
Well, you know, the CG in this sequence of events is so bad. So bad. Everything on screen is fake, with the exception of Ryan Reynolds' head. So when you look at the screen and you like squint your eyes a little bit, it just looks like a Ryan Reynolds head bouncing around.
Yeah, it's a disembodied head.
It's awful. Who thought this was a good idea? Why have his suit be CG? What does that add to the movie?
Nothing. I think they were trying to show off, but they failed miserably.
Look what we can do.
This is a failed experiment.
Look at what we can't do.
Yeah, we can't get this to look right.
We can't get this to look good.
I have to imagine they did a test run of this, right? They don't just sign off on this being the whole movie for a test.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Who looked at the test of this and thought this looked good?
There's some jackass out there.
I bet you they didn't even bother. They just said, this is a big comic book. We need something to fill the gap before Batman comes out. That's exactly what happened.
I mean, in a world where they've seen the new Batman movies, where they know what it takes to be a successful comic book movie, how do they look at that and think that this is going to hit the same audience the same way?
You know, at the end of the day, this is probably exactly how it boiled down. The year prior, they knew for a fact that Marvel was going to release Thor, Captain America, and X-Men Third Class. All these comic book movies.
First class.
X-Men fourth grade.
And X-Men first sequence. They're going to release all these movies in the same summer at the same time. They needed to compete. They needed something, anything. Christopher Nolan was too busy being Christopher Nolan, doing cool stuff elsewhere.
I guess he was busy with Inception, right, at that point?
Yeah, I guess so. He was too busy being awesome. And so they're like, we need something to fill the gap. So they're like, green light this thing, whatever, get it done. And this is what we get. We get this rushed piece of crap.
So such a bad decision.
I mean, it just boils down to money, right? That's just the reason. Green Lantern is a recognizable figure. We can sell toys and t-shirts on this. The end. End of story.
That's a huge miscalculation, right? Because now Marvel has just taken over.
You're right. They lost. They lost the war, right?
It could take a decade for them to scratch their way back.
Yeah, Batman's done. What else do they have? They don't have anything left.
They're hoping on Man of Steel. That's their last hope.
All of their hopes and dreams now ride on the back of our good friend Zack Snyder.
Oh boy.
And not only that, they picked a character who has time after time after time, no matter how many times they try to reboot this thing, it's not working for them. They keep betting on a losing horse.
During all this montage crap, we cut back to Earth and we see that Peter Sarsgaard, after he got infected by the yellow fart gas, he is mutating, right?
Yeah, his head's getting bigger.
I'm mutating.
mutating.
Yes, exactly.
His ego is getting really out of control.
Yeah, you're right.
He's got a big head.
Yeah, so he's starting to get telepathic powers.
Yeah, he hears some kid in the class he's teaching talking crap about him, and he picks him up, throws him against the wall. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Why is this guy teaching?
That's what he is, right? He's like a high school science teacher or something.
That was college.
Fourth grade.
Yeah, he's teaching nuclear physics to kindergartners.
That's what it was? I thought it was environmental science.
I don't know what he was doing.
Who knows?
Who cares?
Okay. Well, anyway, so after all this junk, we cut to the big party scene that Claudio was talking about in the introduction.
I guess they're celebrating the fact that they somehow cleaned up this mess that Hal Jordan created, and they did get the government contract after all.
Yeah, Blake Lively, she convinced them that hotshot Ryan Reynolds, he broke rules. And we all know that there's rules in war, right?
Oh, yeah. If anything, everybody knows that you have to follow. You have to follow rules when you're fighting a war.
Yeah, exactly.
Rules of engagement.
Yeah.
Starring Samuel Jackson.
Well, thank God that everything worked out. So the senator is having a conversation with his favorite son.
Jesus.
My one and only son.
So wait, is Tim Robbins still an owner of this company?
Yeah, you'd think that that would
was
be...
Was he ever?
Is he the owner and a senator and he's selling to the government?
That's definitely a conflict of interest.
It's just a real big problem to me.
Yeah, you would think that it would have to be handled by like a blind trust, right? Yeah. Like every other senator has a blind trust holding like their... But I guess here it's not and he can attend their party and everything. Well, his son is pretty PO'd that his dad doesn't respect his whatever.
Daddy doesn't love me. He's crying. Sucks.
Yeah, it turns out that his dad doesn't respect his ability to.
This is a joke.
Yeah, so he gets PO'd and uses his mind powers to take the helicopter down. It's about to crash.
Yeah, Tim Robbins goes up in this helicopter to leave. They hover over the party for like 15 minutes and Tim Robbins like waving to everybody.
Yeah, he's the queen.
What's that about?
So, he has a responsibility to the people.
Yeah, so Dr. Hammond, he makes the rudder on the back of the helicopter easily explode. The helicopter's going all over the place. Luckily, Ryan Reynolds is there. Throws on his ring. He creates the dumbest thing he makes in this whole movie with that ring. And I can't even imagine how this would be the first thing to pop into your mind. But he makes a car here out of the helicopter. And then puts it on a track and races around the track all above everyone's heads.
It looks like a Hot Wheels track. You know, those you drop and the car spins around?
Yeah, exactly.
He couldn't have done like a pillow.
A giant pillow.
He could have just made a big hand that would have grabbed it and put it somewhere else.
Can't you just use the beam of the ring to just direct things?
Yeah.
Why didn't you just put it down
catch
on the ground?
Catch it in a bubble and move it over?
Yeah, why didn't you just put it on the ground?
It seems to me like they, when they were writing this, every time he made something with the ring, they sat there and thought about for 4 hours what it should be, like what they could do with special effects instead of being like, what would be the first thing to pop to your mind?
What's something we can sell a toy of? I bet you can buy that car thing as a toy.
Probably.
Well...
At the local dollar store probably today.
It definitely detracts from the movie, that's for sure.
Yeah, this is laughable. I mean, I think we all laughed. It's a joke.
I seem to recall us all screaming at how stupid this was.
Yeah, well, Ryan Reynolds takes off because the Green Lantern, I guess, can't hang out at the party now.
Well, Ryan Reynolds saves Blake Lively's life because she's going to get crushed by Bree, whatever. Later on, he confronts her as the Green Lantern. And this scene was actually okay. One of the few scenes in this movie that was actually good. She confronts him and says, hey, Ryan, I know it's you.
Ryan Reynolds.
Just because you have some stupid mask on, you don't think I would know it's you? I could see 30 of your face.
Not only that, I've known you since we were little kids.
I've seen you naked.
I see you all the time. I recognize your voice. I know who you are.
Yeah, this is pretty good. I mean, this is another little clever thing they did, one of the few in this whole movie. But yeah, her calling him out was a really good scene. They actually played off each other well there, so.
Maybe that's where the romance sparked, Kevin.
Romance connection.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith style. Okay, so Peter Sarsgaard is mutating beyond belief to this hideous Quasimodo guy, and his powers are getting stronger and stronger, and eventually the government gets hold of him, and they want to do experiments on him, all this crap.
I got the impression they just wanted to kill him.
Yeah?
That's what I thought.
Catch him, kill him, Kevin.
When you got someone that's like mutating like this after touching an alien...
Gotta go!
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want that spreading.
Absolutely not. He needs to die.
Yeah.
Well, he rebels, and he kills all the guards, and he starts screwing around with his dad and Amanda Waller. There's these giant robot arms there in this factory for some reason, and he's controlling them and stuff. Ryan Reynolds shows up, and as far as I'm concerned, perhaps someone who's a comic book aficionado can clear this up. So far, all we've seen of the Green Lanterns is they use their ring to manifest manifest things into the real world. And it's usually like a physical object, like a hand or a sword or something. And it's always green. When Ryan Reynolds shows up in this scene, he manifests a flamethrower and it shoots actual fire out. And it's like red as opposed to it being green. What's going on here? Do they think like the audience wouldn't be able to understand that it was fire because it was green?
It probably wouldn't look right.
Then why have him use a flamethrower at all?
It shouldn't have. But yeah, it doesn't make sense, right? Because there's other points where he uses a gun, so...
And bullets come out.
Yeah, I would imagine that the bullets are green manifested bullets, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't all of a sudden be real bullets.
Like, it's the energy. It's the power of his will. Yeah. Like, you can't just make matter, right?
No.
Whatever. So, Peter Sarsgaard gets his,
Papa?
Gets his dada. Throws him into the control room above where he was captured. Takes one of the robot arms and cooks him. Roasted, toasted, burnt to a crisp.
Yeah, burns him alive.
Burning Man.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. At this point in the movie, were you guys like rock hard for this movie? You really loved it, right?
I couldn't get enough.
I was still interested enough to see like where it was going to go, but I wasn't pleased with the product.
This is where I just signed out. I just didn't care anymore.
This is the moment?
Mm-hmm. Right after this scene, I just didn't care.
Okay, so after this crap happens, we come to find out that the Green Lantern's rings are powered by Will. And the color of Will is green for some reason. I always thought that was envy, but what the hell do I know? Sinestro wants to harness the power of fear to make a weapon that can fight Parallax, which is the giant angry fart cloud in space. And the color of fear is yellow. Okay?
Piss yellow.
Kevin, are you keeping track of all this?
I am. There's also a whole backstory of why this is the way it is, but I don't want to get into it.
Absolutely not. And the stupid alien council, they're ready to pull the trigger on this and make the fear weapon. But Ryan Reynolds shows up and he tells these immortal alien gods what's up. He rips his shirt off, shows him his abs. Immediately, they bow down.
I remember while I was watching this scene, I couldn't believe how insane it was. His speech is from someone who is, to them...
A baby! Not even a baby, a sperm!
Less than a second old,
trying to
discuss the pros and cons of something he has no understanding of. I would have just laughed him out of there. I would have been, get the hell out of here. We don't kill you.
Yeah, they're like, we got the whole universe and all of time to worry about, not your little Earthland.
Get out of here.
If that's the case, like, the way that their logic is not to help Earth, right?
Yeah,
they're gonna say, forget it. Like, we can lose Earth, it's not a big deal.
They're utilitarian, they have to do the greatest good.
They have to get rid of it, though, right? Like, shouldn't the plan really be to somehow, like, destroy Earth when it's there? That would be the real plan in that circumstance, wouldn't it?
What, the angry fart cloud goes to Earth, attacks it, and you blow up the fart cloud? Or Earth?
Yeah, the whole thing. If that's your logic, that Earth is expendable, then somehow you have to stop this thing eventually, right? If it eats up Earth, it's only going to get stronger.
Mm.
So what's the point of letting it get stronger there? If you're saying it's expendable, you could see him arguing, no, don't blow up Earth, instead of arguing, don't do nothing.
Well, you say the Earth is expendable, but how much C4 would you need to blow up the Earth?
I mean, Sylvester Stallone's got it in his plane, right? Jason Statham for 45 minutes, he can cover the whole planet.
Well, there's this whole sequence where Ryan Reynolds double crosses Peter Sarsgaard. I don't even want to get into it. There's no point. All that matters is that Parallax, the giant angry fart cloud from space, shows up on Earth. He starts causing havoc, and we get to see a sequence play out that we see in The Avengers, Transformers 3, the exact same thing where these tendrils are attacking a city.
Was this the first one to do it?
Was Transformers 3 the same summer? Could have been.
I don't remember.
The first one to do was Fantastic War. When Galactus showed up. This just looked like a yellow Galactus. This is DC's version of Galactus, is what this is.
So yeah, this thing shows up. Ron Reynolds, he throws a gas tanker at this thing. Okay, so first off, this thing is ginormous. It's taking up an entire city at this point.
The entire Green Lantern Corps, who are experts at this, couldn't stop it.
No, they all died in the face of this thing. He throws one little gas tanker up. He manifests a machine gun thing, blows that thing up, and somehow that hurts it. That'd be like a fly landing on your shoulder.
Not even.
To that being.
It's this is ridiculous. This fart cloud face comes at him with all its power and he's getting pushed back, but luckily, I guess not luckily, but he uses his will, power of his will to stop this. Why does he all of a sudden have this will when all these other beings did not?
He doesn't even have will. He just recites his little catchphrase again.
Which means nothing to him.
It doesn't.
Because he was controlled by something else. He was brainwashed.
I really don't get at all. But he's strong with Parallax, apparently.
Yeah, he manifests a giant fist and comically punches the fart cloud into the sun. The end. And then at the end of this movie, they threaten us with Green Lantern 2 by showing that Sinestro actually made the Ring of Fear and he put it on and bum, 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 he's a villain now. Even though all his actions throughout the course of this entire movie would lead us to believe that he's a good guy and wouldn't believe in fear and all that stuff.
He was the best of the good guys.
Yeah.
He was. He was the best of the good guys. He was the most noble.
And he was really impressed by what Ryan Reynolds did. Yeah. Like, Ryan Reynolds showed him what it really meant to have no fear and blah, 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 blah.
Yep, makes no sense.
This movie is out of control.
And it's not even put into any context. It's just him putting the ring on.
In deep space.
He's not like saying anything or justifying his actions.
Does anybody know what the Yellow Lantern's code, like, oath is?
Braid all the time.
Under my bed, in my closet. I'm really scared.
And shivering, cold. It's really dark outside.
Wait. If you're the Green Lantern and you strengthen your will, so you have a lot of will, you're stronger. If you're using the power of fear, does that mean like when you're most powerful when you're the most afraid?
Yes. Yeah.
How does that make you like effective in any way?
I'm terrified.
Not just terrified, like there's a lot of manifestations of fear. Jealousy, anger. Those are all manifestations.
No, I like the idea
hunger,
that he's... I think he's cowering in a corner, and that's when he said it's most powerful.
Yeah.
I don't think hunger is a manifestation of fear.
Hunger's an emotion,
yeah,
right?
You're afraid of starving to death.
I have the emotion of hunger right now.
I have a really strong,
raging hunger right now.
Yeah, so that was the Green Lantern.
Let's find out what the real critics have to say about this.
Find out what the unreal gents to say about this.
The result makes the movie seem assembled from bits and pieces of other superhero yarns rather than existing on a plane of its own. James Berardinelli, Real Views. As a disjointed rumble in the cosmos, it's both too much and too little and too dorky looking. In this case, green means stop. Tom Long, Detroit News. And finally, even by the standards of the current run of mediocre comic book movies, this one stands out for its egregious shoddiness. Dana Stevens, Slate. Okay, guys, this movie currently holds a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. Is it really that bad?
Yeah, this movie's terrible. I mean, I checked out more than halfway through. In the beginning, there really wasn't much to hold me to the character, and the story doesn't make any sense. I don't understand Hal Jordan's motivation for doing any of this. Peter Sarsgaard, I think his acting was the only redeemable part of this movie for me, something that I actually enjoyed watching. But other than that, visually, it looked ridiculous. I'm gonna give this movie, it's not horrendous. I wasn't like suffering while I was watching it, but it wasn't good either. I'm gonna give it a solid 2 out of 5.
Yeah, for me, this movie is that bad. If there's anyone that's gonna give this movie a lot of leeway, it's gonna be me. Like, I want this to be a good movie. I desperately want this to be a good movie and franchise. I want this to work. It just doesn't. I mean, the CG world just doesn't work at all. It looks terrible. And I think Green Lantern could be a good movie if the right decisions were made, but it just seems like they made the wrong decision at every turn. I mean, this stupid suit he wore was just so distracted, head bobbing down. I'm going to give this a 2 out of 5. It held my attention and I wanted to see where it went. And that's more than I can say for a lot of the movies here.
As for me, is it really that bad? Yes, it is that bad. I dislike this movie a lot. The only redeeming quality in this movie is Peter Sarsgaard. He was having a good time. He elevated this material just a little bit. If I could give this a 1.5, I would, I guess. This movie's really bad. It's not the worst movie we've seen. I feel like a 2 is too generous for this movie. But a 1, I mean, I don't know. Like, we've seen true 1 out of 5s lately. Like,
just last week.
I mean, this wasn't as bad as The Unborn.
Nowhere near it.
Okay.
But it wasn't. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I reluctantly give this a 2. Rock bottom 2 out of 5. Don't waste your time. Okay, thanks for listening to the show. If you like what you've heard, please consider subscribing. We have a new episode every Tuesday. Please leave us a positive review on iTunes. Those 5-star reviews really do help out the show. Please help spread the word of the show to all your friends by liking us on Facebook, facebook.com/yeahitsthatbad. You can follow us on Twitter @yeahitsbad. You can follow Marty @marty. You can follow Kevin @kevin. You can listen to the show on all your mobile devices via Stitcher. Thank you for downloading this premium podcast. Keep an eye out on yeahitsthatbad.bandcamp.com for all our latest releases. Thanks for listening. How do you think Blake Lively convinced those government men to do this?
She put on her knee pads, bro. Put on her knee pads.
That's sexist.